Welcome back to the Rav Hirsch on Parsha webcast series here on OU Torah. This week we will be studying Rav Hirsch's commentary to Parshas Be'alosucha. And I'd like to begin this year. Let's begin in the second half of Perek Tes, immediately following Revi'i in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Vav, and this whole section continues for a few psukim through Pasuk Chaf Gimel, where the Torah describes the procedure for the Bnei Yisrael's journeys throughout the Midbar, how the cloud dictated their travels, and as the cloud rose, they knew it was time to go, and they packed up their camp, and they traveled as far as the cloud went. When the cloud rested, they knew that was the place where they were to rest, and they remained in that camp as long as the cloud remained there. And the Torah says that the cloud sometimes remained there for a day or 2 days or a month or many years. They never knew, and when they stayed there until the cloud picked up again, and then they traveled. And this is how they followed Hashem's cloud through the Midbar for the 40 years they spent in the Midbar. Rav Hirsch has a few interesting things to say about this section. First, he notes that the section begins Uviyom Hakim Es HaMishkan, with a vav, and on the day they erected the Mishkan, then Kisa Ha'ananas HaMishkan Le'ol HaEdus, the cloud covered the Mishkan, and there was this cloud that dictated their travels. But the Uviyom Hakim Es HaMishkan, and it was on the day that they put up the Mishkan, indicates indicates a connection to the previous section. The previous section, the beginning of the first half of Perek Tes, describes how the Bnei Yisrael brought a Karban Pesach in that year, the second year after leaving Mitzrayim, and there were those who were unable to bring the Karban Pesach in its appointed time because they were Tameh, and so Hashem ordained the institution of Pesach Sheni. But after a whole discussion of the Karban Pesach, then we have Uviyom Hakim Es HaMishkan, and it was on the day when the Mishkan was erected, indicating that this section about the travels of the Jewish people in the Midbar, based on the movements of the cloud, has a connection to the Karban Pesach. And Rav Hirsch explains very simply that the message symbolized of the Karban Pesach was actualized, was acted upon through the travels. And he explains, we discussed this back in Parshas Bo, the idea of the Karban Pesach being that, and we also discussed it a little bit in Parshas Tetzaveh when we talked about the Karban Tamid. The idea of the Karban Pesach was taking a lamb to symbolize that we are putting ourselves in Hashem's care and adopting Hashem as our shepherd in life, just as a lamb is led by its shepherd and relies on its shepherd for guidance and to take care of it. And every year on Pesach, we renew this idea in our minds, and we recognize that and we commit to follow Hashem in whatever destiny He ordains for us and whatever life situation that He places us in, just as a sheep follows its shepherd. And this idea of adopting Hashem as our caregiver and recognizing that Hashem takes care of us, whatever we may be, is indeed what the Bnei Yisrael were acting out in the Midbar when they followed the cloud. As the Torah says here, Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu Ve'al-Pi Hashem Yisau, they traveled. They encamped based on the word of Hashem. They traveled at the command of Hashem. They followed Hashem wherever He took them. And it was unpredictable, Rav Hirsch writes, that every time they set up camp, they had no idea how long they would be there. It could be they were going to be there for a very long time. It could be they knew they were unpacking and pitching their tents and setting everything up and erecting the Mishkan and putting in all the work, knowing full well that it could be the next morning the cloud would rise up again and it would be time to move after all that hard work of setting up camp. But they had to set up camp because perhaps they would be there for a number of years and they couldn't be living out of boxes for all those years. So there was this instability and unpredictability, and yet they followed Hashem willingly, and they recognized that as long as they were in Hashem's care, and as long as they were going wherever Hashem dictated, they knew that despite the fact they may not understand exactly why they were traveling and not traveling at any given time, but Hashem was taking care of them. And this was during these 40 years, this idea of bitachon in Hashem in all life circumstances was instilled in our national DNA through the method of our travels in the Midbar. Rav Hirsch cites the Ramban on Pasuk Yud Tes that explains that the emphasis here in this parsha is the big sacrifice it must have taken not to move when the cloud didn't move. In Pasuk Yud Tes, the Torah writes, that when the cloud remained over the Mishkan for many days, the Jews kept Hashem's charge, kept Hashem's trust, and did not travel. And there's an emphasis here that though they were in the Midbar, which is an inhospitable climate, and they could have been in the middle of nowhere, and it could have been hot, and there was nowhere to hide from the difficult climate. And they knew also that they were journeying to Eretz Yisrael. And every day they just sat there in some remote desert location was another day gone by that they were not reaching their ultimate goal, another day that they were not moving closer to Eretz Yisrael. We know that the journey to Eretz Yisrael was not that far. And remember that initially they should have done that journey in 3 days. They could have completed it very quickly. And so they're tantalizingly close to Eretz Yisrael, but yet they're not moving. They're just sitting there in a terrible, terrible location. But yet, they trusted in Hashem. They did not go against Hashem's word. V'lo yiso, they would not travel further without Hashem's command, without Hashem's endorsement. And this is really a tremendous accomplishment that is rooted in a bitachon in Hashem, in a faithfulness to Hashem. And this the lesson from all this was that that again, no matter how hard it is to understand why Hashem is putting us in certain situations in life, but we trust that as long as we follow Hashem, we will always be happy and we will always find our path to success and happiness, and we will achieve whatever we need to achieve in life, because Hashem is guiding us along the way. So these travels in the Midbar are really just a metaphor for life. We go where we're told to go. We have to deal with the situations Hashem puts us in. Sometimes Hashem wants us to sit. Sometimes Hashem wants us to go somewhere into uncharted territory. But our lives are quite similar to this concept of Alpi Hashem Yachanu, Alpi Hashem Yisau, and we are to adopt the attitude that Jews had in the Midbar and waiting for Hashem's signal before going and living our lives based on the guidance of Hashem and not trying to do things differently or feel that we know better than Hashem. And this Rav Hirsch notes that this act of sitting and waiting for Hashem's signal on when to go and trusting in Hashem's guidance is referred to in the Pasuk as V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es mishmeres Hashem. This indeed is the mishmeres Hashem. It is the ultimate way of guarding keeping the task that and fulfilling the task that Hashem has assigned to us, because it is a sign of our obedience to Him and our trust in Him. Rav Hirsch says also another reason why the fact that they may have stayed in one place is stressed here in this parsha is because it taught the Jewish people to be patient and to be willing to wait out situations where they knew they were going somewhere and they couldn't go and they just had to sit and wait for Hashem to give them the sign. And this is, of course, preparation for all the Golios that we have had to sit through and wait through in our national history and now going on for 2,000 years plus, or almost 2,000 years. And the idea being, as our first cites here, the pasuk in Chavakuk, im yisma mea chakelo. If Hashem, if the ultimate geula is delayed, we still wait for it. We do not despair of its eventual arrival. And so too, just as Bnei Yisrael sat and knew they were going to Eretz Yisrael, and knew that Hashem would take them to Eretz Yisrael on His own timetable, and waited patiently for the sign to travel again, it's a lesson for us to learn in our own lives that although the Geula has been long in coming, and sometimes it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we must be patient and trust in Hashem that the Geula will come, and never despair of its eventual arrival. And this is a lesson that we learned in the Midbar. I would suggest an additional idea, an additional thought, based on this this exposition of Rav Hirsch on the concept of the travels in the Midbar. And the idea that I would suggest is based on the last pasuk in this section, which the concluding verse says, "Al pi Hashem yachanu ve'al pi Hashem yisau," based on the word of Hashem, they would camp, and the word of Hashem, they would travel. As mishmeres Hashem shamaru, they guarded that which Hashem entrusted them with. Al pi Hashem biyad Moshe, by the word of Hashem through Moshe. Now we know that after Kriyas HaTorah, when we lift up the Torah and do Hagba, the tzibur declares, "Vizos haTorah asher sam Moshe lefnei bnei Yisrael al pi Hashem biyad Moshe." This is the Torah that Hashem, that Moshe placed before the Jewish people by the mouth, the word of Hashem through Moshe. Now, this is a combination of two psukim. The pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan says, "Vizos haTorah asher sam Moshe lefnei bnei Yisrael." End of the pasuk. Al pi Hashem biyad Moshe comes from this pasuk here in Baha'aloscha in the context of the travels of the Bnei Yisrael. So what I would suggest is, if Al pi Hashem biyad Moshe is really a description of the patience and endurance throughout the galus, as Rav Hirsch is explaining here, then perhaps that's why we do not simply say Zos HaTorah Shasam Moshe Lefnei Bnei Yisrael, but we throw in the additional reference of Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe to the travels in the Midbar to remind ourselves that the Torah that Hashem gave us is also meant to be kept in throughout the years of Golos, throughout the years of that we wait patiently for Hashem to give us a signal to travel back to Eretz Yisrael, to travel back to our own nation, our own Torah-based nation, to travel back to a time where we will have our own sovereignty and the recognition of the nations, and bring the whole world closer to serve Hashem. We wait for that sign, and so the Al pi Hashem biyad Moshe may be an encouragement to remind us of the patience and endurance required in the Midbar, and that we too should wait patiently and never despair of the Geula, and remain faithful to the Torah throughout these long years that we wait for Hashem to give us that signal once more. Let's move on now to the next section in the parasha, in the beginning of Perek Yud, which discusses the mitzvah of Chatzotzros, the trumpets that Hashem told Moshe to make, and to blow them at certain times, and to blow kios or truos at certain times. The first part of the section describes how they would blow those chatzotzros to gather the nesiim, to signal the travels. And then the Torah says that these chatzotzros are to be sounded as well at a time of war. And the final pasuk in this section, Perek Yud, pasuk Yud, says, "Uvyom simchaschem, uvmoadechem, uvroshei chodshechem," on the days of your joy, on your holidays, on the beginning of your months, "Uskatem b'chatzotzros," you shall blow the trumpets, "al olosechem v'al zivchei shalmechem," over your olos and your karbon of shlamim, "v'hayu lachem luzikaron lefnei elokechem," they shall be for you as a remembrance before your God, "Ani Hashem Elokechem," I am Hashem your God. So this pasuk teaches us that the chatzotzos were part of the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash of the karbanos, the special karbanos brought on Moadechem, Rosh Chodeshem, on the Yom Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, the Musafim that we will read about later on in this Sefer, in Parshas Pinchas. They were accompanied by chatzotzos. The question is, what is this first day referred to in the Pasuk? Uv'yom Simchas Chem, the day of your joy. To what day does that refer? It's Yom Simchas Chem sounds like it refers to a specific day in the calendar or a specific time. That's one question that we need to answer about this Pasuk. The second question is that we know from the Gemara in Sukkah that the Chatzotzros were also sounded at two times that are not mentioned in this Pasuk in connection with Karbanos. One is the Musaf of Shabbos, which is not mentioned here, and the other, at least explicitly, and the other is that the Chatzotzos were sounded together with the Karban Tamid every day, in the morning and in the evening. So that's not mentioned here either. And perhaps we could try to identify one of those days with Yom Simchas Chem. And in fact, Chazal and Sifrei do just that. There's two opinions in Sifrei as to what Yom Simchas Chem means. One says Yom Simchas Chem Elu Shabbosos, and the other one says Yom Simchas Chem Elu Tamidim. So, which one is it? And why would they be referenced as Yom Simchas Chem, the day of your rejoicing? So Rav Hirsch says that to explain these questions, we need to understand, we really need to define simcha, joy, happiness. And Rav Hirsch says that while we often take simcha to refer to an extraordinary feeling of joy, a special occasion is a simcha. It's a time when we are more joyous than usual. Rav Hirsch says not so. Rav Hirsch says simcha refers to more of an inner feeling of serenity, an inner feeling of satisfaction and a good mood, that which one should always be in possession of, a certain feeling of happiness that we are supposed to have at all times. And Rav Hirsch cites numerous psukim in Tehillim and Koheles and Mishle which use simcha in a context that refer to simple joy, not necessarily some extraordinary circumstances that warrant a large amount of happiness. And Rav Hirsch says that the Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, is really about creating a constant state of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, a state of joy in serving Hashem, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. In fact, when we, at a Sheva Brachos, which is a time of great happiness, and we mark this time of joy in the special zimun that we use for benching at a Sheva Brachos, we add on the words Shaha Simcha Bim Ono, that joy is in his abode. Ma'on refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is although Ma'on also maybe perhaps refers to the Shemayim, but it also refers to the Beis HaMikdash, it's his dwelling place. And so Shaha Simcha Bim Ono, the Beis HaMikdash is the paradigm of an actualization of Simcha, because Hashem is worshipped there every day in a state of joy, because it is an opportunity to become closer to Hashem. And so, Rav Hirsch shows that the previous pasuk, as I mentioned before, in this parasha describes the obligation to blow the chatzotzos at a time of war, and which Rav Hirsch says is opposed to, and then the next pasuk describes Yom Simchas Chem. So again, Rav Hirsch says Yom Simchas Chem is not in contrast to a regular day. It's Yom Simchas Chem in contrast to a Yom Tzara. Yom Tzara is a time of extraordinary problems. And Yom Simcha is a regular day, a day of simple joy and satisfaction in serving Hashem. And so, says Rav Hirsch, every day is a Yom Simcha. Every day has the ability to be a Yom Simcha. If we serve Hashem, if we live a life where we bring Hashem into our lives and attempt to draw near to Him, every day could be a Yom Simcha, a day in which we find ourselves feeling satisfied with our lives, feeling satisfied with our relationship to Hashem, satisfied with and happy with how we are living our lives in connection with Him. And so Yom Simchas Chem, says Rav Hirsch, could very well refer to the Karban Tamid, the daily Karban that brought every day, day and night, which refers to the daily service of Hashem without missing a day, without skipping a beat. Our entire lives are devoted to Hashem. And if we act in such a manner, it transforms every day into a Yom Simcha. So if Yom Simchas Chem refers to the Karban Tamid, and the chatzotzos were blown in connection with those karbanos. And then Shabbos, Rav Hirsch says, would be incorporated in under the heading of Moadechem, because Shabbos is also a moed. And we define Moadechem elsewhere as a moed, as a karban of a moed, as referring to a karban that has a kavua lozman, that has a fixed time. So the carbon of Shabbos, like the carbon of Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, has a fixed time. And so Shabbos could be subsumed under the heading of Moadechem. According to the other opinion the Sifrei, Rav Hirsch explains, we could say that Yom Simcha refers to Shabbos. Because while throughout the week we are weighed down by our concerns of our physical lives, and providing for ourselves and doing what we need to do, but all the difficulties that we face in life are cast aside on Shabbos. And on Shabbos we focus on Hashem, and we return ourselves really into the and entrust ourselves to the care of the Ribbono Shel Olam by withdrawing from creative work for a day and returning the world to Him. And in doing so, we find joy in Hashem. As we say in the Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, we say, Ki simachtani Hashem befa'alecha, b'ma'ase yodech aranein, that you've given me joy through your work, Hashem. That once we put aside our mundane concerns and focus on Hashem, it gives us a sense of simcha. And similarly, we say in davening, Yismechu b'malchuscha shomrei Shabbos. Those who keep Shabbos will rejoice in the kingdom of Hashem. When you're Shomer Shabbos, you feel a connection to Hashem, a greater connection to Hashem, and that infuses a person with a feeling of happiness. So Yom Simchas Chem, says Rav Hirsch, could also define the day of Shabbos and indicate that the chatzotzos were blown together with the Musaf of Shabbos. And then the Karban Tamid would fall under the category of Moadechem, because the Karban Tamid are also considered to have Kavua Lahem Zman and are considered to be a Karban with a fixed time, which has ramifications in terms of whether one could bring such a Karban at a time when most of the Tzibur is Tameh, as we know we would do for a Karban Pesach. We might do the same for a Karban Tamid as well, because it is like a Moed, like the Karbanos of the Moed. And so this is how Rav Hirsch explains what Yom Simchas Chem could mean. It could mean weekday, it could mean Shabbos. And there's a really powerful lesson to us, both in the idea of Shabbos as a Yom Simcha, as to what it should mean to us, but also a really powerful message in the idea of every day being a Yom Simcha. The potential that every day has to provide us with the joy and happiness. We're all looking for happiness. It's something that we all find, maybe many of us find, to be elusive. But it's just a matter of perhaps redefining simcha, and we don't need to be looking for the, you know, over the moon feeling of joy, but just a simple satisfaction in a daily life lived in service of Hashem has the ability to infuse us with enough joy to warrant the name of Yom Simchas Chem. And that's a powerful lesson. So what we do with these chatzotzeros is we blow them at these times of particular closeness to Hashem, at a time when we are infused with joy because we are serving Hashem and we are entrusting ourselves to His care, with the Karban Tamid showing our daily dedication to Hashem, or on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov, or Rosh Chodesh. We blow the chatzotzeros with these karbanos because the chatzotzeros represent a call to Hashem and a request for Him to see our endeavors in our attempts to draw near to Him, and asking Him to, in kind, be close to us and meet us halfway. And indeed, that's the idea of the carbon. We discussed this in Parshas Vayikra. The idea of a carbon is first described to from the root of karov, to become closer, in that a person brings himself closer to Hashem through the avoda of his carbon, and infusing himself with certain ideas upon bringing a carbon to the mikdash, and then hopefully Hashem in kind brings the person closer as well. And this is the idea of a moed as well. The yom tov, a moed, as the first describes elsewhere, is a time of a meeting. A time of a meeting between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, and we go halfway, and we ask the Ribono Shel Olam to come halfway, and hopefully meet in the middle, and we can find a tremendous feeling of closeness to Hashem through our avoda. And that's the call of the Chatzotzos, is a call to Hashem to say, please see our avoda and accept it, and bring it close to you, and bring us closer to you through that. And we, in our daily tefillah, because remember, our tefillah is Unesham Aparim Svasenu, is meant to be a replacement for the Karban Tamid, morning and afternoon, the Kushachars and Mincha. And so in our Shmona Esrei, the bulk of our, the main portion of our Shmona Esrei is meant to replace the Karban Tamid, and following the main portion of our tefillos, we have the bracha of Ritzei, where we ask Hashem to find favor with our tefillos and accept them. And that bracha is really a replacement for the chatzotzros that accompanied the Karban Tamid, says Rav Hirsch. Because we all, it's a verbal expression of the call of the chatzotzros. And in fact, that's why we insert Yalev Yavo in the bracha of Ritzei. Because when we look at these psukim have a particular mention of the function of the chatzotzos as v'hayu lachem lezikaron lifnei elokeichem, it will be a remembrance before Hashem for you. And on these days, we wish to be remembered of this Rosh Chodesh, Moadechem, Rosh Chodeshechem, which are mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk. We wish to be remembered before Hashem. And so we ask Hashem, Ya'alev, Ya'avov, Ya'agiyav, Ya'ro'ev, Ya'ro'tsev, Yizacher, V'pokev Yizacher, Zichronenu, Fiktonenu. Our memory shall be recalled before you, should rise up to Hashem. And Zichron Avosenu, and other Zichron, Zichron Moshiach, Medavid Avdecha, Zichron Yishalayim, Ir Kodshecha, Zichron Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael Lefanecha. So all these Zichronos, all these remembrances, should we ask Hashem to take them to heart, to accept them, to remember us for good. This is the idea of the Zichronos mentioned here. We replace the chatzotzos of Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh with our recitation of Yalev Yavo, because as Rav Hirsch notes here, that the pasuk says uskatem b'chatzotzos al oloseichem ba'al zivchei shalmeichem, you should blow the chatzotzos in accompaniment with the olos and shlamim, and then v'yu lachem zikaron, together with the chatzotzos, those karbanos will reach their full potential as a way for Hashem to remember you. And so we recite the bracha of Ritzei, because every day the chatzotzos were blown together with the tamid, and on the days mentioned in the pasuk explicitly, the moadechem, rosh chodeshechem, we also add Yalev Yavo into the bracha, making a special request for Hashem to remember us and fulfill the function of the chatzotzos in their absence, to the yulachem lezikaron lifnei elokeichem. And to remember us, to remember what we've done in the past, and to remember us for good in the future. Zachreinu Hashem Elokeinu bo letova, ufakdeinu bo levracha, v'ushareinu bo lechayim, that He should remember our past deeds for good, and that going forward, Hashem should remember, should have us in mind for good, remember us for a positive future as well. And this is all based on the Chatzotzros, and based on this pasuk that requires us to blow them when bringing these karbanos. Later on in Perek Yud, we read two psukim that we recite every time we have Kriyas HaTorah in Shul. These are Vayhi ben Sawan uvnucho yomar. That these are the pasuk says, "Vayiben soah ha'aron vayomer Moshe." Was when the Aaron traveled, Moshe would say, "Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oyevecha v'yanusu misan echa mipanecha." Rise up, Hashem, and say your enemies, may your enemies be scattered, and may those who hate you flee from before you. So when the Aaron would travel, Moshe would say this, and then uvnucho yomar, when the Aaron would come to rest, he would say, Shuvah Hashem ruvavos alfei Yisrael, return Hashem to the many thousands of Israel. So the Hirsch asks, why did Moshe call on the Aaron to go or to rest after it had apparently already done so? Because it says in the pasuk that when the Aaron traveled, then Moshe would say, "Rise up and Hashem," but the cloud had already risen and the time already came to travel. The Aaron was already on the move. Why is Moshe now saying this after the fact? Because we know that Moshe did not determine when the travel happened. It was Hashem's cloud that told them when to go. So Rav Hirsch says that these declarations of Moshe are an expression of the principle that Rabban Gamliel teaches us in Pirkei Avos, in the second Perek in Mishnah Dalad, where Rabban Gamliel said, "Asei ritzono kirtzonecha." You should make Hashem's will as your own. And so it is Moshe Rabbeinu is saying this to express his identification with the will of Hashem. And Moshe's desires are in complete harmony with Hashem's goals. And Moshe reached this ideal level of Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha. But as we see in the rest of the parsha, the people were not quite up to this standard yet. The people we see in the very next pasuk after these declarations of Moshe is Vayihi Ha'am Kimis Onanim. The people were in mourning over themselves. The people were unhappy that they did not feel this identification with what Hashem wanted. And we know that while Moshe may have reached this ideal level that Hashem was hoping for in Matan Torah, that for the people to a level where of identifying with Hashem's will and making His will the same and as that of Hashem's, but as the people, the nation as a whole, we're not on that level. And as a nation, we will not reach that level until the end of days, Rav Hirsch writes, when we read all the prophecies that refer to a time when all of the nations of the world will follow the Jewish people, that follow their lead to recognize Hashem. But we are working slowly throughout all of history to that point in time. But the Jews were not ready for that yet, and so they did not end up going immediately to Eretz Yisrael for that reason. And Rav Hirsch says this is why these two psukim sit here as they begin to travel. It shows a marked contrast between Moshe's attitude and Moshe's relationship with Hashem compared to the people's relationship with Hashem, which we see at the last sections of this week's parsha with the misonanim and the safsuf and the problems with the mun, and we'll see in next week's parsha with the meraglim. We see the big difference between the two, and we understand why they were not ready to go into Eretz Yisrael just yet. And that's why this, according to Chazal, Rav Hirsch explains, these two psukim are referred to as sefer choshuv bifnei atzmo. It's a sefer unto itself, these two psukim. And they have the upside-down nuns in the Sefer Torah that frame these two psukim to set them off from the what came before, what came out comes afterwards, to show how Moshe Rabbeinu is really in a league of his own, in a separate mindset from everybody else, as we will soon see as we see the end of this parasha, and we'll see next week's parasha, and the following parasha after that, Korach, we'll see to the problems that Bnei Yisrael had in accepting their relationship with Hashem. But to describe exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here in these two psukim, when the Aaron traveled, that's symbolic, Rav Hirsch says, of the word of Hashem going out to the world, and the Torah going out into the world to win others to its cause, to educate the world about Hashem and Torah values of morality and justice. And Moshe knew, says Rav Hirsch, that such values would be difficult for people to accept and would find enemies and opponents wherever it went. And these opponents come in two varieties. Some are Oyevim, are those who are passive enemies of the Torah, that they have a dislike for Torah. They don't like it, but they just seek to block its spread. But then, in addition to the Oyevim, they are Misan Echa. Misanim are not just sonim, those who hate the Torah, but misanim is an active. They incite hatred against the Torah, and they seek to promote a battle against Torah from all sides. So Moshe Rabbeinu davens at the beginning of the travels of the Aron out into the world. Moshe says, "Kuma Hashem v'yafuto yevecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha." Both types of opponents to the Torah, both the passive and the active, the inciters, should be scattered and should be rendered helpless. And Moshe Rabbeinu has confidence that the Torah will prevail in the end, and that ultimately the whole world will be won over to the way of the Torah and will become members of the community of those who serve Hashem. And so he indicates that this is the destiny of the Torah by stating that Hashem's Aron should rise up and scatter all its enemies from before it. And then Uvnucho Yomar, when arrested, he said that Shuvah Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael, that Hashem should return to the many thousands of Klal Yisrael, in that even when the Torah is spread amongst all the people of the world, all the nations, but the primary residence will still be with Klal Yisrael, that we will still remain Hashem's chosen people. We will still remain, Hashem will still rest among us. And Rehersh also notes one last point, that Uvnucho is spelled with a hey at the end rather than with a vav, which despite the pronunciation, would in the writing with the hey at the end would indicate that it's written in Lashon Nekeva, in feminine form. And Rehersh says this indicates that Moshe looks forward to a day where the Torah doesn't have to be uvnucho with a vav, doesn't have to powerfully overcome and oppose those who do not stand for Torah values, but rather the Torah can be more passive, and can we envision a time where, as Chazal put it, the Torah is called Morasha Kihilas Yaakov Al Tikre Morasha El Morasa. The Torah is betrothed to those who keep it, that all people will take the Torah for themselves and want to promote Torah values and share the Torah with everyone, with the whole world, and the Torah will be not so much as a powerful counterculture to the rest of the world, but will rather be mainstream, will be adopted, and can remain passive to all those who will wish to adopt it as a way of life. And that's why Uvnucho is spelled a hey at the end, indicating that the Torah should be seen as a more feminine, passive role rather than a masculine, powerful role in which it needs to overcome those who oppose it.